I've pretty much contradicted everything I've said. Hi, I'm Lee Scott, famous actor, and nothing I say means anything. Thank you for coming. I'll kill you. Oh, that's the Air Force coming in to stop me. They know I'm here. Hold for plane. Hold for plane. Thanks, guys. Yeah, quiet on set.
Action.
My name is Lee Scott. My name as an actor is Lee Joel Scott. And what I go by in public is Lee Scott, famous actor. I am an actor and a writer and a voiceover actor and a producer, apparently, now. And how am I feeling? Bloated emotionally, but famished mentally.
Of all the creative things you do, what do you like doing the most?
For my creative things I do. I'm just going to pull my shirt. I want to look handsome. What do I like doing the most? That's difficult. I like acting, writing, and voiceover, all for different reasons. Acting, I find the most frustrating because all of the work is hard to get. But going into a waiting room before an audition for a theatrical role or commercial, I find very demeaning. I should be rolled out the red carpet for. But writing, I find difficult as well because I don't... it takes a while for me to start writing rather than staring at a blank page or going onto YouTube and looking up unlikely animal friends. And voiceover is difficult for the pure reason of the amount of people doing it. I have a lovely voice, and I would listen to my own voice on repeat forever, but I'm waiting for other people to give me a good enough paycheck to do that. The other part of your question was, what do I find the most rewarding, or what my favorite is? I would say, honestly, my favorite is voiceover. I love voiceover. I remember when I first did voiceover, was at a class. A friend of mine suggested I go to this weekly class with this agent. So I went in, and the first time I stood in the booth, she said, Lee Scott, I walk in. Actually, to be specific, she said, Lee Scott, famous actor, it's your turn. And I said, thank you. And I walk in, I stand at the microphone, I look at the page in front of me, and it was like that scene in Harry Potter where he gets his wand, and like the, that music. I was like, oh my God, this is what I want. This is what I want forever. And it was pretty amazing. Plus, I like being locked in a padded room and screaming at myself. So,
great.
You know, you live your art.
Yes.
Yes.
So when it comes to getting to creating things,
yes,
there's something that you do to get into the right headspace to do that, or you just have to do it.
It depends on my time frame. Like with writing, if I have, I can hammer out a 120-page script in 7 days if you dangle a paycheck at the end of it. But if it's just my own thing, I'll end up rewatching Parks and Rec on repeat. Like it's hard to self-motivate, I think. But I'm getting better at it. I actually started a few months ago. I started doing it again, but a year ago I was doing it for 6 months. My friend Eric sent me this book called Miracle Mornings, and it's about getting up at 5 a.m. and in like 5-minute increments doing meditation and affirmation and visualizations and stretching and exercising and having a big glass of water and brushing your teeth, and like it's very methodical. And I find when I have a structure, it's much easier for me to create, I suppose. Although getting up at 5 a.m. is a pain in the ass.
I gotta tell you, Andy, probably the thing I get most jazzed about with Comic-Con is seeing the fans.
Oh, they're the best part. Absolutely. Me
too. Yeah, we always have a blast there.
Yeah.
Every time we go.
Oh, here we go.
Oh. Okay, I'm... The hell was that? Sorry, sir, what's the problem?
Here we go with the comedy bits, making fun of all the nerds down at Comic-Con, right?
No, not at all. I don't think we do that. Every year we embrace the culture in various communities. present at Comic-Con. We really do.
You're just setting me up. Typical straight male aggro stuff.
No, I'm telling you, we respect the fans at Comic-Con. They come to our shows, and they enjoy them.
Okay. Oh, okay, I get it. You're threatening to kick my ass.
No, I'm not. I'm not threatening to do that at all.
Yes, you want to give me a wedgie, don't you, Coco?
No, I don't want to give you a wedgie.
Oh,
I do
fine.
Not.
It's okay. It's fine. I'll save you the trouble.
Okay, hey. Hey, don't do that.
Oh, why? It's not humiliating enough for you? What, do you want to give me a swirly? Fine.
Okay, wait a minute.
My next question
yes.
is,
proceed.
Do you do anything to, you know, work out your mind?
Well, the hour that you wake up, I find most helpful. Again, getting up in the morning and almost very quickly within the first hour starting to sit down and write and create, I find the easiest time for ideas to come through. Late at night, I'm lazy. I eat popcorn and lay around in my underwear. And then I'm asked to leave Ralph's. So I come home and I do the same thing. But late at night, I'm pretty useless. Getting up early and trying to dive straight into it, I find most helpful. But also the creative project I'm working on at that exact moment, I try to fill my life with what I'm trying to work on. So if I'm writing a comedy horror film, I will watch nothing but comedy horror films for a while. And if I'm... I just finished first draft of another Christmas film, and so I watched... It's set in Hawaii, so I watched films both set in Hawaii and Christmas films and surrounded myself and my psyche with exactly what I have to be working on. I just read my favorite book that now I love called Dark Matter, which is this sci-fi romantic thing. And I'm working on a series about sci-fi and romance. And so I find surrounding myself with it is the easiest thing to do because I'm easily distracted. Very easily distracted. And then this is where the magic happens, folks. Welcome to my office. I've got a schedule here of every single thing I've done to double book myself, which is very frequently. In fact, I had to cancel 4 things for you to be here today. And I forgot to cancel 2 of them. I've got my little laptop where I cry. Surrounding myself with what I need to be focusing on is important. And trying to cut out the other stuff is vital. Otherwise, honestly, I won't get things done. That's just because I know who I know me. And I know that if I'm not focused and if I was supposed to be writing a film and I went to the movies and I went and hung out with friends and I went and streaked across a football field again, then I'd be further away from what I'm supposed to be doing, and I wouldn't get it done. I've got a to-do list. Oh my god, to-do lists are so helpful, especially visual representation. So I've got the list, and I've got boxes here to color in when it's done. And next to it, I'll often put the amount of minutes each one will take. So I get the really, like, 3 minutes, 4 minutes ones out of the way easily. So I feel like I've accomplished something, you know, even though you really haven't. And dinosaur pictures for a book I'm writing, for a kid's book. Called My Mum's a Dinosaur. It's a very, very good book, might I say. There is a podcast I listen to because what 27-year-old white man doesn't listen to podcasts and suggest them to everyone who's not going to listen to them, although they say they will. The podcast is called Script Notes by John August and Craig Mazin. Craig Mazin just wrote Chernobyl. John August just wrote the original script for this Aladdin remake that Disney did. And they're both phenomenal. And John August does a thing called... I think it's the Hour of Power. I might be getting it wrong, but he announces on Twitter 5 minutes beforehand, he'll say, I'm about to go for a solid hour. Who's going to join me in 5 minutes? And it's where you just sit down at the laptop and write for 1 hour solid. You turn off the internet. You don't do anything else except for write. And I find segmenting it like that is easy. I can do that for an hour. After that, I'm pretty wiped, but I can do that for an hour. And another thing I do if I have a deadline for a script, something I like doing a lot is dividing it up into the time I've got and the amount of pages I have to write. If I have 90 pages to write in just over a week, then I'll go, right, Lee, you've got to write 10 pages a day. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But when it gets closer to the date, I'll divide it up into scenes I have to write rather than pages, because it gets a bit trickier saying I've got to write the scene where he falls over and he wakes up in hospital. I can do that today. And I don't know what else would happen in that film. I'm not an improviser. I don't know. He breaks his neck again and goes back to hospital. It's a really sad life for this guy. Then I can write that scene pretty quickly and it's done. But deadlines help. For sure.
It's craziness. Then I saw this ad from another company using a similar concept. And man, they took this basic idea of using technology to order something from them. They took this much, much further. Check out this ad.
Oh, I want more Del Taco, but my body is maxed out.
Oh. No mas! No mas!
Hi, Kevin Spacey here. Why not satisfy your hunger the instant your body's ready for more with the Del Taco Del Flusho? Every flush tells Del Taco your body just made room for uno mas.
You mean all I have to do is...
And the more you use it, the more Del Taco's Del Flusho perfects its intuition, anticipating your body's needs and gradually reducing the lag time between delivery, consumption, and elimination until your body and Del Taco achieve a perfect, synchronized loop, which we call Delfinity. What is Delfinity? It's a gateway to a higher plane of perception, a place where past, present, and future blend seamlessly.
I'm a baby.
And the meaning of human existence is revealed within a multiverse where all reality and reason melt away, giving you an unencumbered vision of the infinite.
I'll swallow your soul.
Plus, half off our new Crunch Tata Tostada. And try our body-activated soft drink dispenser, the Del Taco Del Wizzo. Del Taco. Oh my God, what have we done?
Pretty cool, right?
Delfinity!
I think a lot of people might need help after listening to me. I recommend a good therapist. Oh my God, mental health
mental
is so
health.
Important.
Let's go.
Oh my goodness gracious. Mental health is so important. And what I like at the moment is that everyone's talking about it and it's becoming more prevalent and okay to discuss. One of the things that helped me the most was going to a therapist after a really bad breakup, and she helped me deal with that. I'd never been to a therapist before, and I was so ashamed of going to a therapist that I went to my general practitioner, my doctor, to get a prescription for a therapist or something. I don't know what you did. A recommendation. There we go. Thank you so much. I'm a writer. So I went to the GP incognito because I didn't want anyone to know it was me and I was there. I wore a baseball cap and I took my glasses off because I didn't want any... I mean, I walked into things because I'm blind, but I didn't want anyone to know it was me. Good thing I was at the doctor. I broke my nose on a door. But even this therapist that I chose, they had her details and her address and whatever, and I chose a therapist that was way out from anyone I knew, and I drove the back streets to get there because I was so ashamed of going and seeking help. I didn't want anyone to see me as someone who isn't confident or able to handle situations, because again, I like meeting new people and again, going back to the very deep-seated psychological, I need people to love me. Enough about my adoption. I didn't want anyone to see me in a light other than, there goes Happy Lee, who's great at everything and is very handsome. So I went to this therapist, and it's the smartest decision I've ever made, because it helped me get through something I didn't think I could. And on top of that, creative outlets are very important to do that. An aunt of mine died, and to deal with that, I wrote a short film about death. And it sounds very wanky, the short film never went anywhere, but it was a way for me to get it out
important.
Yeah. It's very important. I know there are a bunch of comedians that I've spoken to that are worried that they need to keep that sort of depressed aspect of their life so they stay funny and so don't seek mental health whatsoever. No, don't seek help with it anyway. And I don't think that's true. I think getting help is important. And I think if you can't take care of yourself, how are you able to take care of other people? And if you're going to stand up with a microphone for 2 hours and have people look at you and listen to your stories and laugh and all that stuff, how can you take care of them if you can't take care of yourself?
And I'm Australian and I live in America, so I have something that reminds me of home. It's a little g'day button.
Fair dinkum. Straight.
Cooey. Oh, it's like being at home.
My average day, at the moment anyway, will get up at 5 a.m. I'll brush my teeth. I'll have a huge glass of water. I'll meditate. I'll do affirmations. I'll do visualizations. I'll stretch my neck. I'll do some stretching on the floor. I'll go for a hike. I'll come back. I'll shower. I'll have breakfast while I'm reading a book. After that, I will sing. I will play piano. And I will record any voiceover auditions I need to record. And then I will get down to any project I need to work on. And anally enough, it's all written out in minutes, in 5-minute increments. And that sounds like the makings of a psychopath. And if you were thinking that, you'd be right. I also think, side note, but just adding it, I'll get back to my daily schedule, I promise. I think it's important also to explore other creative avenues. When I first moved here, my friend Peter said, well, go out and do a class in, I don't know, glass blowing or something, something where it's not acting and writing all the time, somewhere you can meet different people. And I told him to go to hell, but I think it's important to have another creative outlet. I can't draw really to save my life, but I enjoy doing it and I find it relaxing. And I think if you can find something like that to take your mind out of what you're doing, you're going to be freeing up some space for you to keep creating. I find that if I get into a rut, I'll get up and do something different. It could be because I'm easily distracted, but it's also to, you know, if I'm stuck on a line of dialogue or I'm stuck on editing a scene, I'll get up and I'll sing The Poor Unfortunate Souls or something just like really dramatic and big and something completely different than what I'm doing. And I find that really helps. And then over here is a fun way to relax. Little piano. Look at this, you'll be very impressed by this. Okay. Oh, it's off. I think it's important, not narcissistically, but to be proud of your work. For a long time, I was always very apologetic for my work. And I'd send someone a script and I'd say, oh, I'm only working on it and tell me what you don't like and I'm worried about this and I'm so sorry and I don't want to inconvenience you and I know it's 130 pages, I'm so sorry to take up your time, please don't hate me. But it's taken a long time. But now I say, hey, here's something I'm proud of, I like it, I'm very talented, enjoy it. Tell me your feedback. And I find that's much easier and people want to help someone who is confident in what they're doing and is seeking improvement. But I mean, having confidence is key, I suppose. And even if you've written something that you are nervous about giving someone, or you've got a scene that you've recorded that you want to send someone and get their feedback, or anything really, a piece of music, a piece of art, look at it and think about some aspect of it you're proud of just before you send it to them. Because that'll influence how you write the email or make the phone call or write the letter and tie it to a pigeon's leg. You know, it's... If you don't believe in yourself, who else is? Who else is going to care that much about you? You've got to work hard for yourself because no one is going to work harder for you than you are. I've found that out a lot in the past 4 years of living in LA, that I have to work hardest for myself. My agent isn't going to, you're not going to, Which, first of all, how dare you? But not only do you work hard for yourself and end up feeling proud about what you're doing because it's something you've created and you see the results because you're putting the effort in, but it's something that you like, hopefully. Why put the effort in something you don't like?
Don't be mad.
Okay.
No, you're doing an eyebrow thing.
No,
you're being mad.
I'm not mad.
You're being mad. Don't be mad.
I've done, what was it last count? 597 voiceover auditions, and I've booked 5. They ask why. And I just say that's the industry. And it is just mind-boggling to some people. You've got to have a thick skin to be a part of this. And you've got to persist, and you've got to believe in yourself. It comes back to, if you're not going to work hard for yourself, no one else is. We're living in an incredibly palpable time right now, where you can create your own stuff, and that's so amazing. I created my own stuff. Check out imdb.com/lee-scott127. I don't know if that's my IMDb link. Don't hold me to that. But I've written web series and come up with a talk show and features and stuff, and it's just running on a treadmill, constantly getting stuff done, and with each piece you improve. And I look back at one of the first things I wrote, and A, hilarious, B, poorly written. But I've improved since then. I wrote something and I laughed at my own joke and went, well, it's good enough, move on. Evidently it wasn't, it's a piece of shit. But since then it's gotten better, less shitty. Nothing's ever great, it's just less shit. I suppose that's the entire industry. Money. What do I do?
I was gonna get up and shake your hand.
Oh.
On camera. Because I did that in the past too, but I could switch it and not do that this time.
I want you to shake my hand.
Okay.
It's very sweaty.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh my goodness.
Appreciate it.
I didn't even stand up for that because that's I'm fine. Higher status than you.
And you're mic'd up.
You're welcome. That's true.